As we prepare for our reading from God's Word this morning, just want to give you a little context. We're reading today from the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers comes as the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness. Remember, Moses led them out of their slavery in Egypt through God's mighty hand. God parted the waters of the Red Sea. They walked through on dry land, and then God vanquished the Egyptian army after that. And you would think that things would go swimmingly after that, right? I mean, if God shows up in your life in such a powerful, amazing way, of course, that is going to stick with you for your entire life. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at the book of Numbers. But first, let's invite the Holy Spirit's presence in our prayer for illumination. Praying as one, Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our lesson is from Numbers 11, reading verses 16 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So remember when I said that the powerful arm of God was with them, and it's an experience that they would never forget their entire lives long? Well, that was a lie, because they do forget almost immediately. All throughout the rest of the book of Exodus, into the book of Leviticus, and into Numbers, over and over and over again, the people complain to Moses. They're wandering around in the desert because of their own disobedience. God is trying to teach them to trust. He's trying to teach them to obey. He's taking a slave people and turning them into a nation. But it takes an entire generation for them to learn this lesson. And no less than 5 or 6 times in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you hear the people complaining, "In Israel, we had meat. In Israel, we had, or in Egypt, rather, we had all of these vegetables and all of this meat and all of this wonderful food." They're thinking with their stomachs, not remembering that all this meat and all this food, all these vegetables, all these lovely fruits, all came at the expense of lash marks on their backs and not having a day off of work for 400 years. I look forward to a day off every now and again. How tired would you be if you had to work for 400 years straight? That's at least 4 or 5 lifetimes of work. But the people, they complain, and they complain to Moses. Why? Well, because Moses is the leader. And if you've ever held a position of leadership before, you know that complaining is part of the territory. It's part of what it is to be a leader. Whether you're a leader of a church, or whether you're the leader of a Cub Scout troop, or whether you're a leader in the PTO, or whether you're a leader in your own business, or if you're considered a leader in your own household. They complain, don't they? Even when things are good. When things get a little bit tough, that's when the complaints start. "Oh, we had meat in Israel. I mean, in Egypt." I almost read this, and I don't know if it's like leadership baggage over the years, but they all take on this like whiny 3-year-old voice. "I wish we had meat. Give us some meat." I hear you back there. Didn't say your name though, so you don't get your $50 today. So, that being said, Moses finally comes to God before, in the verses leading up to this, and Moses says, "God, kill me now. Kill me now. I'm done. The people have worn me out. They do nothing but complain. These people that you gave me," Moses says. He blames it on God. "It's your fault they're complaining. You did this. So kill me now, put me out of my misery, and put someone else in charge of them." And God says, no, Moses. Gather some elders together. Gather some other leaders. And I will place the spirit that I've put on you on them. And then they will all share this leadership burden with you. Hi, honey. The Israelites have received food directly from God all this time, by the way. All they have to do is go outside and pick it up. It's like a DoorDash delivery every single morning. I've always said if I had enough money, I would have a personal chef just for breakfast, right? And every single morning, they wake up, they go outside, and there is this light, flaky, sweet substance on the ground. They don't really know what it is, and so they call it manna. Manna being the Hebrew word for what is it? But it nourishes them, and it strengthens them. But they've been eating it for like 40 years by the time they enter into the promised land. And so they say, "We're sick of this manna. Give us some meat." And God says, "You want meat? I'll give you meat. And you're not just going to eat it for a day or 2 days or 10 or 20 days, but I'm going to give you meat for a whole month. And you're going to have so much meat that you're going to be up to your eyeballs in literal quail." And in a part of the story we didn't get to, God does. God sends like quail, and it lands and it rots and it festers, and the people, you know, they're punished for their disobedience. Those are some kind of hard words for us, that there might be some responsibility for our actions. But remember, God is forming and crafting these people into a nation, and they are going to go on to be a world power by the time we get to the time of King David. But in these early days, God sends his Spirit to be with these 70 elders, to share the burden of leadership with Moses. I'm thankful that we are in a church tradition where the pastor is not the only leader of the church. You see, some have the misconception that because I get to stand up in front of you and talk every Sunday, that makes me like the CEO or something like that. And some pastors take that idea of being CEO and they really run with it. But if you've read the story of Moses, you know that's something that you want to run away from, not toward. You want the Spirit of God to be with the elders and the deacons. And so later on today at our congregational meeting, we are going to be electing elders and deacons. But my friends, these are folks that the Spirit of God has already come into. What does Moses say when Eldad and Medad begin prophesying outside of the carefully drawn boundary that Moses has placed, right? They gather these elders together in the tabernacle around the tent, and they're prophesying. The Spirit of God comes on them, and they are speaking God's word. But then two guys who didn't come to the tent, the Spirit of God comes on them as well. And Joshua, son of Nun, the only parentless person in the whole Bible, it's a joke, my friends, you're supposed to laugh at that one. Joshua, son of Nun, runs to Moses and says, Eldad and Medad are prophesying too. We have to stop them, because God's Spirit has come on them, but they're not a part of the official leadership structure that we have carefully set up here. And Moses says, Joshua, I wish that everyone would receive a portion of the Spirit. I wish the Spirit of God would pour out on everyone. Why? Because maybe they'd stop complaining then. Or maybe they would be able to share this leadership burden across the entire community. But at the very least, we know that 72 were chosen on that day by God to receive a portion of the Holy Spirit for at least a season. But Moses' dreams come true. Not in his lifetime or any of their lifetimes, but on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and James and John and the rest of the 12 and many, many folks were gathered together on the temple to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and they're all prophesying. It marks a change in the way that God does things. From a chosen leader being filled with the Spirit to the Spirit being poured out on the entire community. And my friends, we believe that in baptism we receive a portion of that Spirit as well. I love holding a baby in my arms, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then marking the sign of the cross on their foreheads and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. You are marked as Christ's own forever. Just as we talked last week about how the Spirit being poured out on all of us means that we have been given talents and gifts to use in service of God, so the Spirit of God rests on each one of us to be leaders in our own right. Later today, we will elect those who have said yes to God's call of leadership. But my friends, this is something that we do every year. I went to seminary with folks, and Mr. Bob will tell you too, when he was in his seminary class, there were folks there who were 20, 30, 40 years older than me. In fact, just a couple of years before I entered the seminary, a woman by the name of Shirley Montaneri graduated with her Master's of Divinity and was ordained as a minister of Word and Sacrament in the RCA at the age of 87 years old. The Spirit of God will chase you down. Even if you're out hiding in the tent somewhere, the Spirit of God doesn't take no for an answer. And like I said, I went to seminary with folks who were in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, who when we would gather around in conversations, they would say, you know, I felt this call a long time ago, and I ran away from it. But the Spirit will catch you. So isn't it just better to be caught? Isn't it much better to say yes, to open yourself to the presence of the Spirit, to stop wasting time and start on this journey of leadership that God is calling you on? The church needs leaders, not just at the local level, but in our classes, in our region, in our denomination, people who are filled with the Spirit of God, who seek the will of God through diligent study, through prayer, through conversation, folks who receive that Holy Spirit and live into it. That's the gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the church. And so we celebrate whenever someone says yes to that call. But next time the elders and deacons feel the pull of the Spirit in your direction, maybe it might be time to stop running away and to start thinking about saying yes to the Spirit so that you're not out in the tent somewhere when the Spirit falls on you. We want you here in the room so we can hear what God has to say through you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for these lessons from the Old Testament, showing us and reminding us that your Spirit has been present from creation and still is present today. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to sense your call and the courage to submit ourselves to your will, the courage to be led by your Spirit into ministry, into mission, into leadership. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who died and rose again, that we might live eternally in this kingdom that you are creating, as full participants in the work you are doing in our midst. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith together? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.